summary for the children. Jesus meets the woman of Jerusalem. Do you know all these weeping women, Jesus? They know you as a man of sorrow, as an innocent man they need to die. You try to comfort them. Jesus speaks to the woman. A great number of the people followed him, and among them a woman, who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Jesus, as you struggle along the road toward that awful place of death, you see a group of women among the crowd following you, already grieving at your impending death. You have heard this wailing many times before at funerals and tragic events, but now they mourn for you. You have always shown equal compassion to women you've encountered across the years. You have always seemed to understand the unique burdens that women bear in a world and a culture that pushes them to the margins of society. So here, as you bear the most unimaginable pain of body and heart, you stop to speak to them. You are about to die, and yet you are more concerned with others than with your own suffering and death. But your words are strange, and they seem out of place on this road of sorrow. They have a prophetic ring to them, as if you are still trying to tell people something important that they cannot quite grasp, or that perhaps they do not really want to hear. You speak of even darker days, of far worse things to come upon the people. Yet, how can things get worse? I do remember that you often spoke of repentance, calling the people to turn from their wicked ways and accept the coming of the kingdom of God. Many times you criticised the religious leaders and those who thought themselves righteous, warning that they would bring destruction upon the people and the land. I remember that once you even spoke of the destruction of the temple, but no one really believes that is going to happen. God has always been with us, and surely he will not let such a terrible thing happen to his people. And yet, not one thought the exile would happen. And here you are on the path of sorrow, stumbling toward your death. No one thought that would happen either. Maybe you understand more than we have realized. Maybe you see something that we have refused to believe. Maybe we're not as righteous as we have thought. Maybe we've rejected repentance, not because we do not need it, but because we needed it more than we dared admit. Is that what you mean by these strange words? Is it possible that your death is only the beginning of things for which to weep? Is it possible that our refusal to repent and change the way we live is causing these beginnings of sorrow? Is our own sin and our refusal to confess it really the reason you are on this path? I'd like to think that I have repented, that I have confessed my sins and stand righteous before God. I would rather play the part of the righteous follower. I would rather weep for you, Jesus. I don't want to weep for myself and the pain I bring to others because of my failures and sin. Yet, how long has it been since I have shed tears for my own failures, for my own sins? Have I really been honest enough with God about who I am?